This morning, God's Word comes to us from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. Luke 2, we're going to begin our reading at verse 21 and then read through verse 40 of this chapter. Luke 2, beginning at verse 21, what we hear now is God's Word. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed. And a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. And when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. Here we end the reading of God's holy word. Well, kids, this past Thursday was Christmas Day. And on that Christmas morning, we read the Christmas story from Luke 2. We have done that also around our dinner table a number of times since Christmas Day, reminding us of that glorious story of the birth of Jesus Christ. We sang the Christmas songs on Christmas morning, and a few more again this morning. Songs about angels and songs about shepherds. Songs about Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus. We've talked about so many people who were part of that first Christmas celebration. But there are some we have not talked about yet. If I was going to ask you kids, what part of the Christmas story have we not talked about yet? Well, you might think about that for a little bit and then say, you know, Reverend Niemeyer, we haven't talked about the coming of the wise men yet. And that would be true. We haven't talked about the coming of the wise men yet, but there's a reason for that. The wise men are not a part of the story of Jesus' birth. They didn't come until about 2 years or so later, when Jesus was a child. No, there is someone closer to the Christmas story that we have not talked about. And that is the man that we read about in our text this morning. A man named Simeon. Someone who was certainly much closer to Jesus' birth than the wise men were, but often a forgotten participant of the Christmas narrative. This morning, we're going to talk about a meeting and a man and a message. And kids, those all start with M. Now, you know I'm not often very creative when it comes to sermon titles or sermon outlines. But if mom and dad ask you, what was the sermon about? You tell them it was about a meeting and a man and a message. In fact, you could tell them it was about a mosaic meeting, a mysterious man, and a marvelous message. Obviously, I had too much time on my hands this week. But that's what we're going to look at this morning. The forgotten participant of Christmas, Simeon. And that begins with a mosaic meeting. I think when I was growing up and heard this part of Luke 2 read, I often kind of collapsed it all together. Right after the story of Mary and Joseph and the shepherds and angels in Luke 2, verse 21, at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. And I kind of collapse those two things together. But these are two different parts of Jesus' early life. In that verse 21, about 8 days after he was born, he was circumcised. That took place. And then between verse 21 and 22, almost a month goes by. In verse 22, and when the time came for their purification. This is about a month later. According to the law of Moses, they were following here the prescriptions given already back in the Old Testament for what to do when a child was born. Back in Leviticus chapter 12, we read this. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the people of Israel, saying, if a woman conceives and bears a male child, then she shall be unclean 7 days. And on the 8th day, the flesh of his foreskin shall be circumcised. Then she shall continue for 33 days in the blood of her purifying. She shall not touch anything holy, nor come into the sanctuary until the days of her purifying are complete. That's what's going on. After 8 days, Jesus was circumcised, but now it's 33 days later. We read that after these 33 days, after her purification's completed, they're to bring an offering to the priest. Again, from Leviticus chapter 12, bringing an offering to the priest, and we're going to begin at verse 7. He shall offer it before the Lord and make atonement for her, and she shall be clean from her flow of blood. This is the law of those who bear a child, either a male or a female. If she cannot afford a lamb, she shall take 2 turtle doves or 2 pigeons, one for a burnt offering, the other for a sin offering, and the priest shall make atonement for her, and she shall be clean. And what do we read in Luke chapter 2? And they offered a sacrifice according to what was said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. That's what they are doing here. Fulfilling the law of Moses. And that's said a couple different times in our text. They did this as was written in the law of the Lord. Every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. They were there to fulfill what the law of Moses required. the parents fulfilling their obligation to have their child circumcised as a sign of the covenant given not only to parents but also to their children. And according to the purification of Mary, they fulfilled the law of Moses. And also we read, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Remember in the Old Testament, the first male child belonged to God. The firstborn child belonged to God. Now there was a process for redeeming that child. A redemption price was paid, but this also according to the law of Moses. They were there to fulfill the Mosaic requirements as they went into the temple. Jesus kept the law of God. Jesus and his parents honored the law of Moses. Now, I think if I were the parents, it'd be easy to say, you know, the angel told us our child is the Son of God. I don't think we have to make this trip and do these things and make these offerings and present him. But they kept the law of Moses, submitting themselves to the law, even redeeming the one who would be the redeemer of the world. This text reminds us of the humanity of Jesus. Yes, he was the divine Son of God, but he was also truly human, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law. Jesus and his parents kept the law that he might be not only human, but a perfectly righteous human. Our catechism tells us, what kind of mediator should we look for? One who is truly divine, but also one who is truly human and truly righteous. In fulfilling the law of Moses, it is part of recognizing Jesus' qualifications as the mediator between God and man. He is the only one who has ever been truly human and truly divine. The only one with the qualifications to be the mediator of his people who perfectly fulfilled the law of Moses. This is all part of reminding us that Jesus came to do a certain work, and he from the first, even through his parents, was qualified to do that work. It speaks of a Mosaic meeting. And then we read about Simeon, verse 25. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. Simeon. We do not know much about Simeon. In fact, everything we know about Simeon comes from this text. We do not know how old Simeon was. Now, I grew up with this image in my mind, maybe you, some of you have as well, based on a painting by Rembrandt of Simeon as a very, very old man. But again, I think we might be collapsing stories together. Because following the story of Simeon is the story of Anna. We are told that she was 84 years old. She was old, but we're not told how old Simeon was. I think I always assumed Simeon was a priest of some kind, but the text doesn't say that. Again, with regard to Anna, it speaks of her as a prophetess. And so I kind of, again, collapse these two stories together. It reads that Anna spent all her time in the temple. But Simeon came to the temple on this day. He could have been a priest, I suppose, but just as likely could have been a layman.
We do not know a lot about Simeon's history, but we do know something about his character. Again, from verse 25. There was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout. He is described as righteous and devout. That word righteousness deals with his relation to others. He was righteous in relation to others. And the word devout deals with his relationship to God. He was devout, devoted to God. And he was one who was waiting for the consolation of Israel. He was waiting for all the prophecies to be fulfilled. We have looked at a number of prophecies in our Advent series this year, looking forward to the coming of Emmanuel, God with us. That's what Simeon was doing as well. Looking forward to the coming of Emmanuel. And it had been revealed to him that he would not die until that happened. He was a man who was waiting, a man who was trusting, a man who was looking for the coming of Jesus Christ. And we read that the Holy Spirit was upon him. The Holy Spirit was upon him. He had this great expectation that God would fulfill the work he had prophesied and promised so long before. The Holy Spirit upon him. And when Jesus comes to the temple, his words are, "My eyes have seen your salvation." He was looking for the Lord. He was looking for Jesus Christ because God's Spirit dwelt on him. And when he saw it, he recognized what God had done, recognized the work that was going on, recognized Jesus Christ for who he was. It was a mosaic meeting with a mysterious man. And yet this man comes with a particular message. A message about himself. A message about the world, and a message about the child, Jesus Christ. He comes with a message about himself. Verse 28, when he saw Jesus, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation." He had been waiting. He had been hoping. He had been watching. He had been trusting. And now he sees Jesus Christ. "This is all I could ask for. Lord God, now I can depart in peace, for you have let my eyes see the salvation you have promised." Kids, at our house on Christmas Day, we exchanged some gifts. And I had some gifts on my list, things that I might like. One of them was this tie. I got this tie from my son. We had hoped for some things, maybe looked for some things. What did Simeon want for Christmas? Simeon wanted to see Jesus. And that was enough for him. When Simeon saw Jesus, he says, "Lord, now I can depart in peace. This is everything I could have hoped for. This is everything I could have wanted. I have seen the glorious gift of salvation in this child." And he was content. "Lord, you may take me now, for I've seen Jesus Christ." Would we be that content? If the only thing we got for Christmas this year was for the first time or perhaps for the 100th time, the message of Jesus Christ and the glory of salvation, would we say, "Lord, this is all I could ever have asked for. You may now take your servant in peace." That's what Simeon wanted. He was a man devoted to God, a man looking to find the salvation of God's people. And when he saw that, he said, I couldn't ask for anything more. A marvelous message about who this man was. It's a message about the world. Again from verse 30, my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory of your people Israel. Now they were expecting the glory to come to Israel. They were expecting in Israel God would send his son, his light. We talked about that. His light into the world. They were expecting glory for Israel. But what does Simeon say? You have prepared this in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, to those outside the people of God. And we read in the next verse, and his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. Marveled that this is not only the glory of Israel, this is a revelation to the Gentiles. The greatness, the glory, the breadth of God's salvation would not include one particular ethnic race, but would be for all the people. That's why we're here. Because this glorious message was not only for a particular group of ethnic people, it is for all the Gentiles, that's us, that embrace Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That was the marvelous thing. Oh, they were looking for consolation for Israel. But beyond that, God included revelation to the Gentiles. Were it not for that, we would have no hope. We are those who would be lost. We would have no claim on salvation. We would not be included in that people. But Jesus Christ comes, not only a glory for his people, but also a light of revelation to the Gentiles. And they marveled at this glorious message. A message about Simeon, a message about the world, and a message about Jesus himself. Verse 34. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. A message about Jesus. This child is for the fall and rising of many. For the fall and rising of many. Jesus Christ, this child, this month old that Simeon is now seeing, this month old would be the great dividing line in all of history. Those in whom God's Spirit is at work would seek him, would find him, would embrace him. Those who in whom the Spirit was not at work would reject him. He'd be for the fall and rising of many. Jesus is that one person, that God-man on whom all history turns. The same is true today. Who is Jesus Christ? The answer to that question is a matter of life and death, not only temporal life, but eternal life and death. We like to draw other dividing lines. We draw political dividing lines between Republicans and Democrats and independents.
We draw economic dividing lines between lower class and middle class and upper class. We divide social lines. We draw ecclesiastical dividing lines. Even very narrow ecclesiastical dividing lines between United Reformed and Canadian Reformed and Christian Reformed and Presbyterian Reformed and all these very subtle nuances. The fundamental dividing line in all of history is, who is Jesus Christ? He is for the fall and for the rising of many. Who do you say that he is? Those who, in whom the Spirit is active, who have enlightened their hearts and minds to recognize him like Simeon recognized him, they will rise for an eternal life with him forever. Those who persistently reject the call of Christ will fall away for all eternity. This is the message that Simeon brings about Jesus. Behold, this child is appointed for the falling and rising of many. And so the question faces us once again today. Who is Jesus Christ? What do you do with Jesus? Today, once again, we have heard that he is that perfect Son of God, the God-man, the one who is perfectly qualified to save his people. And so God calls you this morning to put your faith and hope and trust in that Jesus Christ. He is for your rising from being dead in transgressions and sins to made alive with him, and living and dwelling with him for all eternity. Today, the call of the gospel goes out once again. Do not turn a blind eye. Do not turn a deaf ear to that call. But embrace Jesus Christ, this light of the world. He is all we could ever ask for Christmas. Everything we could ever want is found in him. Oh, may God give us that same response today. That once again we have seen the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, Lord, we can depart in peace, for our eyes have seen your salvation. Let's join together in prayer. Lord our God, we thank you for the glorious story of Jesus' birth, and we love to hear that story over and over again. We know, O God, that he is the center of all of history. He is the center of everything. Lord God, if there are those here this morning who have not embraced Jesus Christ, would you so work in their hearts by the power of your Spirit that they, through you, might recognize him and embrace him as Lord of all life? Lord God, do this to bring glory to yourself. We thank you, Lord God, for those who have received Jesus Christ, that we have everything we could ask for in him. You've been so good to us, so gracious. Lord God, receive our thanks and accept our praise. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing together the Song of Simeon. That is number 295 in the Trinity Psalter. A setting of this section of Luke 2. Now may your servant, Lord, according to your word, depart in exaltation. My peace shall be serene, for now my eyes have seen your wonderful salvation. We're going to sing both verses of 295. Would you play it through for us once, Dr. Squeers, please? Let's stand together as we sing. Receive the parting blessing of our God, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.